If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us and challenge us, that you would give us ears to hear you speaking to us today. Lord, help us understand what you're saying, and help us have lives that can be changed. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. There are different accounts of this story, but you've probably heard it something like this. Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep, and she can't tell where to find them. Leave them alone, and they'll come home, wagging their tails behind them. Now, while you've probably heard that before, the thing you probably haven't really been listening to, the thing you probably missed when you sang that as a nursery rhyme, is that Little Bo Peep is not a very good shepherd. Because quite simply, she has lost all of her sheep. And a good shepherd doesn't lose all of their sheep. To make matters worse for Little Bo Peep, while sheep might be able to recognize their shepherd's voice, they are not dogs, and so they won't often find their way back home if you leave them alone. So the idea of leaving them alone is probably not the best strategy for bringing them back home. Now, the nursery rhyme does go on. She doesn't go looking for them right away. Instead, she falls asleep and dreams about them coming home, so that's close, but not quite. Finally, she does go looking for them. Eventually, she does find them. Alas, they've lost their tails, so she has to go back out, look for the tails. She finds those, she brings them back, and she puts them on back more or less where they're supposed to go. All I'm saying at this point is this is another one of the odd tales that we tell our children. Hey, kids, listen to this wonderful story about a really bad shepherd who loses all of her sheep. And we wonder, what's wrong with kids these days? I don't understand. Anyway, if that's what a bad shepherd looks like, what does a good shepherd look like? Or maybe the more helpful thing to think about is, what would the sheep of a good shepherd look like, act like, be like? Because as we've talked about, you can tell a lot about a shepherd by the state of the sheep. And so what would you expect to see in sheep if they had a good shepherd? Of course, we're not just talking about sheep, we're also talking about us and hopefully God, our good shepherd. And so if someone were to look at us, even right now, what would they determine about our good shepherd? And obviously, we're all going through a pretty difficult or at least strange time right now, but even then, we should be able to tell something about the shepherd from the sheep. How agitated and aggravated are the sheep? How scared and worried are the sheep? How helpless and hopeless are the sheep? And again, this is an odd time, but we have a good shepherd, so we shouldn't be totally overwhelmed anymore. We shouldn't be totally terrified anymore. We shouldn't be totally without hope. But let me back up a minute, because some of you don't know why we're talking about sheep so much. During this season of Lent, we've been talking about Psalm 23, probably one of the best known and most used passages in the whole Bible. But when something becomes this familiar, it can lose some of its depth, some of its meaning. And so through the season of Lent, we've been talking about this passage phrase by phrase and adding some of the flavor and the context and the culture and the history back into the passage, hopefully to bring it back to life. More than that, I'm hoping one of the things that we recognize is just how deep and how applicable the Bible really is, that 3,000 years later, after this song was first written, through all the noise and the clutter of 3,000 years, it still can speak to us phrase by phrase with particular relevance and clarity even today. Today we come to the end of this series and our psalm, but it ends well. So if you would, listen to or join me and let's read together Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such a good ending. But what does it mean? What did David, the psalmist, the author, mean? What does it mean for us, even as we go through such interesting times like we are in right now? And so as we end this psalm, I want us to talk about what it means that goodness and love will follow us. I want us to spend a little bit of time talking about dwelling in the house of the Lord. And then I want us to spend a little bit of time talking about the words I've missed. Surely, I will, and forever. And hopefully that'll make sense when we get there. But let's start with what's following us. Some translations say goodness and love will follow us. Some say goodness and mercy will. Some say goodness and loving kindness will follow us. So the goodness part is relatively clear there, but that second noun seems to be more of a mystery. A mystery that I'd like to talk about because it's my all-time favorite word in the Hebrew language. And we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. The word in the Hebrew is chesed. Chesed. If you're from America, it's hesed. H-E-S-E-D, except none of those letters are right because it's not in English. It's in Hebrew, and they have different letters. As a hint of what this word means, obviously it means something like love or mercy or loving kindness, which is why they translate them into those words. I once knew a pastor who actually defined it like this. Hesed is the decisive, steadfast, persistent, enduring, abundant, unfailing, powerful, loyal, everlasting, and personal expression of God's covenant commitment to his people. As such, God's hesed is never distant, unapproachable, indifferent, cold, unavailable, or inadequate. Instead, God's hesed is kind, loving, faithful, tender, life-giving, just, and righteous. Hesed expresses God's rule and establishes his righteousness. Hesed overtakes the boundaries of human sin with God's faithfulness and justice. Hesed saves us from disaster. Hesed prevails against our oppressors. Hesed provides for our well-being, and Hesed sustains life, and it will overcome the advances of death itself. That's what Hesed means. So to put it all together, Hesed is God's faithful, relentless, overflowing, covenantal loving kindness. I like the translation of hesed as loving kindness because kindness to me seems more active than some of the other words we could use. And loving implies being intentional. So loving kindness isn't random or passive, but instead it is purposeful, it is active, it is deliberate, and it is love. And it's this loving kindness alongside goodness that follows after us. But even that idea of following deserves a little bit of digging into. That's not a passive, ambling, following behind. This is a pursuit, a chase, a hunt. This loving kindness can't be avoided or outrun. It won't miss you or be misled. It won't lose you or overlook you. It will search you out, it will find you, and it will catch you. Because quite simply, God's love pursues. Quite frankly, that's not a bad way to sum up the whole of the Scriptures. People run away, but God's love pursues. People hide, but God's love pursues. People fight against God and each other, but God's love pursues. People sin, but God's love pursues. In our psalm, after all the shepherds leading and guiding, and all the shepherds being with, even in the darkness, after all the shepherds' provision and blessing, God's love pursues. It's no wonder that the psalmist can conclude that their good shepherd will continue to be faithful in the future, because their shepherd has always been faithful in the past, and the shepherd is still faithful right now, because God's love pursues. But we'll talk more about that in a bit. First, we need to talk about the last phrase in the psalm: dwell in the house of the Lord. You see, the sheep in this psalm, David, knows where he's going, knows when it's safe, knows when he's home. This sheep has found contentment, and that contentment is in the house of the Lord. It is with the good shepherd. We look for contentment in so many things, in so many places. If I was just a little more like this, if I had a little bit more like that, if I could just be a little bit more this way, if I could just do a little bit more of those things, then I'd arrive. Then I would be content. But it doesn't work. We look for our identity. We look for our peace. We look for our security, our hope, even our worth in so many other things. And while some of them are very, very good, they're just not enough. They just don't satisfy. They just don't make us content. And so we're just left with this longing, a longing to rest in something, a person to hope in, a place to dwell. We want something different. We want something better. And our psalmist realizes it's in the house of the Lord. Of course, a house like we're talking about, a home like this, a household like this, isn't just a place we go. It's bigger than that. It's a place that forms us, that shapes us, that molds us. It happens as we become part of the household of God, the family of God. This is our home. And that then helps us to orient and direct our lives differently as we try and fit into this new family. Frankly, this is one of my favorite images of the good news in the Bible. I love this idea that we have been adopted into the family of God, that we have been brought in to a new family. The reason I like this image so much is because no one chooses to be adopted. It's simply something that is done. We are adopted, and then we choose to live in this new family in which we find ourselves. In many ways, that is our faith, that we have been brought into this new family, and now we have to figure out how to live in it. The choice was God's, because as we talked about a moment ago, God's love pursues. But this love then starts to involve us in the process of living in this new family, changing us, bringing us in. Frankly, this new family starts to shape us. Because here's the thing, this family does things differently. This family lives distinctly. This family responds more divinely. Or at least we're supposed to. We're to love like God has loved. We're supposed to love with a love that pursues. We're supposed to love people so that they feel like they're at home. Because we are not just home in the household of God, but we have become a part of the family of God. Which brings us to our final point before we get all the way to the end. I've been leaving some words out so far because I think they point at something that sometimes we miss. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One of the things I'm struck by in this psalm is the confidence, bordering on boldness, of the psalm. What's even more remarkable is that it was written by David, and while he had a lot of things going for him, his life definitely was not easy or calm or safe. And yet he speaks with a certainty, a surety of his position, of his status, of his good shepherd. In other words, somehow through the good times and the bad times and the terrible times and the wonderful times, David still is sure that he belongs to the Lord, that the Lord is still his good shepherd. Even the idea, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, this isn't speaking of hope or a gamble or a wish. David is convinced of his future. How interesting that David trusts that because God has been faithful in the past, God will continue to be faithful in the future. And yet I think that this may be the piece that we are least confident in today. More to the point, I think this is one of the things that has changed for some of us in the last few weeks. I think most of the time we have some picture of our future. Not necessarily an accurate picture, but a picture that basically everything's going okay and it'll all basically work out. And most of us had our pictures changed in the last couple of weeks. The pictures got fuzzier, blurrier, darker. Because now we don't know what the future will bring. Now we don't know if everything will be okay. Now we don't know if we'll even get there. Now contrast that view to Psalm 23. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you hear the difference? And again, I feel the need to say this same disclaimer I've said a couple times throughout this psalm because of the threats we face. It's not saying that nothing bad will ever happen. It's not saying that we won't get sick. It's not saying that we won't die. But that's not what David is saying either. He's saying that goodness will follow after, no matter what. That love will pursue him. No matter what, that he will still dwell in the house of the Lord forever, no matter what. In other words, he's still putting his faith and his hope and his trust in God. He's choosing to have a different outlook. He's choosing to live in a different way. He's trusting that no matter what, he will always be with the Lord forever. And really, that's what we're celebrating today. Because David's great, 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 skip a few, great grandson was named Jesus. And he changed our trajectory, changed our outcome, changed our lives. Because while he died on a cross, in some ways he did it so that we would know how far our good shepherd is willing to go for us, how much our good shepherd wants to be with us. And that's news. But today we don't just celebrate the news, we celebrate the good news. 3 days later, he then conquered death. He didn't just come back from the dead. He came out on the other side of death. He beat death. And so we can say what David said, but even in an even more confident way, because we know that we really will be with the Lord, not just yesterday, not just today, but forever. And why? Because God, our good shepherd, loves us. Because Jesus, our good shepherd, died and rose again for us. Because the Holy Spirit, the Good Shepherd, lives in us. And so we know that we will dwell with the Lord forever. We started with a shepherdess from a nursery rhyme, Little Bo Peep. There's another nursery rhyme shepherdess who does a little bit better. You may know that the story goes something like this. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, Mary went, Mary went, everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Well, the story goes on. The lamb followed her to school one day, which made the children laugh and play. Of course, the teacher had to turn it out, but it waited patiently about. And then, at the end of the rhyme, there's a question and an answer that seem particularly relevant for us today. The question is, why does the lamb love Mary so? Love Mary so, love Mary so. Why does the lamb love Mary so? And in the last stanza, there's an answer. Why does the lamb love Mary so? Mary loves the lamb, you know. Mary loves the lamb. You see, the reason the sheep follow the good shepherd is because the good shepherd loves the sheep. The reason that we love God so much, the reason we follow after God so much, the reason we hope in God so much is because God loves us. God loves you. You could almost just say it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that your love pursues. We thank you for how your love overcomes and overwhelms us. We thank you that your loving kindness follows us all the days of our life. And we thank you that you have brought us into the household of God, the family of God, such that we might live with you forever. Lord, today especially, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life, for his ministry, for his death, and for his resurrection. We thank you that through all of those things, you have brought us into the family of God. And so we pray all these things in his strong name. Amen.